Hello, Lisa and Pete here with the catch-up.
With a record $750,000 fine handed to a WA egg producer for fake free-range claims, we speak to the president of the Commercial Egg Producers Association to find out if this is just a one-off.
Hamish McDonald from Foreign Correspondent joins us from the UK with details of his special report on the aftermath of the Manchester terrorist attack.
And Justin Hamilton stops by to review the world's most popular TV show at the moment.
There's only one Lisa, there's only one Pete, and there's only one bank that was just awarded Money Magazine's Bank of the Year 2017. It's Bankwest. This is a Lisa and Pete podcast made in Perth for Perth on Mix 94.5.
And a record fine has been handed down to a free-range, that's in inverted commas, WA Egg Company. For more on this, we're joined by the president of the Commercial Egg Producers Association WA, Ian Wilson. Good to have you on the show.
Thank you very much for that, Pete and Lisa.
Ian, this is quite the scandal, really. I mean, it's people like me who buy free-range eggs. It's not for the pleasure of paying twice as much, and it's not because we want to be trendy. It's because we genuinely give a hoot about the damn chicken. And this story has come out today that some of us have been paying for free-range eggs that just aren't.
Yes, I believe our industry on a whole, we're very, very disappointed at what's happened with Snowdale and the legacy that it's left on consumers, feeling that they have been gypped with what they're getting.
Mm-hmm.
All I can say is that 100% sure that the rest of the farmers who are going about their business free-range farming are all diligent and adhering to the rules.
Well, I mean, as disappointed as I am in some of these egg brands like Eggs by Ella, or as I'm now calling them, Cruella, you don't need people like this ruining it for everyone who are doing the right thing.
That's correct. It's very sad. Unfortunately, I suppose in any industry, some people will flaunt the rules, and it goes to show if you do the wrong thing, you will eventually get caught and pay the penalty.
Mm-hmm. Ian, and a big penalty they've paid.
Yeah, $750,000 they've been fined, and also $300,000 in court costs as well. Ian, can you just, for the average punter who doesn't really know much about it, just explain exactly what the definition of free range is? How many chickens per, what is it, hectare or acre or square metre?
Okay, so the definition of free range is 10,000 birds to the hectare, which equates to a range area of 1 square metre per bird, which may sound restrictive, but when you, if you ever have the opportunity to go to some of these farms, you will see that the birds congregate quite closely together.
Yeah.
Traditionally, they will range in the vicinity of their chicken house and not so much far away from where they feel comfortable. We're more than comfortable with this definition. When it's enforced and practiced, it works really well.
Absolutely. I mean, compared to battery farming, it's like they've got a turndown service. It's just fantastic, really. Well, do you think that, Ian, in regard to a few ruining it for everyone, does this mean there's going to be some overhaul of the way eggs are marked on their cartons?
Look, there has been truth in labelling has been researched and adjudications have been handed down. We believe that there's a lot of scrutiny on egg farmers, and I'm sure there'll be even more now once this judgment has obviously been made public.
Yeah.
When we're quite diligent in providing what we preach that we produce.
I'm going to say it. Let's not lose our heads over one bad egg.
Oh,
sorry. That's what he said.
Oh,
I can say exactly.
All right,
you
know,
be here all day.
I think on that note, guys, we'll leave it there. Ian Wilson, president,
Ian, thank you,
of the Commercial Egg Producers Association of WA. Appreciate your time, mate. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks, Ian. That one doesn't count because that wasn't to you.
What are you talking about doesn't count? Why?
Well, because that was to Ian.
You've got four.
That's between me and Ian.
You've done four. You've got one more left. What did you just say?
Nothing.
What did you just say?
It was just a sound that came out of my mouth.
Really, was
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Foreign Correspondent is back, and it's Manchester United, not the soccer team, no, something entirely different. In fact, Hamish McDonald deep dives into Manchester's Muslim community to find hard and revealing conversations going on, especially since the terror attack at the Ariana Grande concert. And Hamish McDonald joins us on Lisa and Pete now. Good to have you on the show, mate.
G'day, guys. Thanks very much for having me.
Hamish, Muslims, I believe, make up 16% of Manchester's population. And this is another one of those incidents that puts things back a step in terms of understanding, you know, the difference between a terrorist and a Muslim.
Yeah, and look, I think the thing to remember about this particular attack is that it came in a long sequence of attacks here in the UK. In 3 months, there was the Westminster Bridge attack, there was Manchester, there was the London Bridge attack, and then there was an attack on people leaving prayers at the Didbury Park Mosque here in London. And that was kind of in many ways why we went to Manchester, to find out, well, what happens next? What happens after the cameras pack up and go home, after the flowers are packed away? How do these kind of communities circle back and find meaning or resolution or even solutions to make sure it doesn't happen again?
Hamish, I just feel sorry for the Sumayas of the world, if I got that name right. She's going to be on the show tonight. She's just a 15-year-old Ariana Grande fan who happens to be a Muslim, who was at the concert and left as traumatised as everyone else.
Yeah, and actually super confused in the days afterwards as well. Sumaya had begged her brother Gibran to buy her tickets to the Ariana Grande concert. She's an amazing teenage girl, wants to go off and become a surgeon when she leaves high school, loves Ariana Grande, loves the music, loves the dress sense, and obviously, you know, very sadly was caught up in this attack. She and her brother woke up the next morning, you know, understanding that they had been victims of this, that they had survived a terrorist attack. But then in the days after that, when the identity of the bomber became apparent, Salman Abedi, a 22-year-old British Muslim, they started to find themselves being viewed as suspects.
Yeah, so the staring starts brother, again. You know,
he's in his 20s. He's a young Muslim man. He said, I've had to stop sort of walking around town with a backpack if I'm going for a meeting. You know, they went to the Ariana Grande concert that happened a few weeks later. He said, I was walking around on my own and I just realised I had to go and stand with our family because people were just looking at me like, why is this young Muslim man walking around here on his own? So really confusing for them to go from being sort of victims one minute to suspect another.
It's heartbreaking. Do they feel sort of a sense of it's one step forward, two steps back?
I think what was interesting for me was their clarity on this whole question.
Yeah.
They're young and, you know, you don't necessarily expect them to have sort of such sort of high-level sight of what's going on. But they said, look, we think this is what the extremists want. We think the extremists want us young Muslims to feel different. They want the rest of the community to look at us with suspicion because that's exactly the circumstance that allows them to sort of spread their kind of jihadist ideology. They can say, look at them. They look at you differently. They don't want you here. You might have been born here, but you don't belong here. Their view was you just need to stand strong and kind of avoid falling into the trap of feeling that suspicion.
We look forward to this tonight, mate, because it is a very interesting insight and definitely a deeper conversation that needs to be had. Manchester United on Foreign Correspondent 920 on ABC TV. Pleasure talking to you, Hamish McDonald.
Thanks, Hamish.
Guys, thank you very much. Have a great day.
Please be advised the following radio segment is designed for people who have televisions, people who watch television programs in their homes, on their computers, or on electric telephone devices. Lisa and Pete would like to remind you this isn't just Talk and Telly. This is Justin Hamilton, Talk and Telly.
And here we are. Winter is being reviewed.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. No climate change for these guys.
Oh, here we go.
Oh. My God, that music, right?
It's the best.
It is stirring music.
It's just the best since Twin Peaks.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I reckon it's right up there. It's that kind of music that makes you just want to pick up a sword and fight a dragon and then realise that you live in the modern world. But I also feel like the series has been running for about 30 years and it's not, that's not a negative. It just feels like it's been a part of our lives for so long now. And sometimes the pace of it is a little bit like your grandfather walking to the letterbox. Like, you know he's going to get there. You know he's going to do something. He's probably going to find something surprising, but God damn it, just get there, you know? So now we're up to the penultimate season. The first episode is always a little bit of a, okay, do you remember all the actors? Do you remember all the characters? This is where they're at. That's not a bad thing.
No, it's good to reset.
There was a lot that happening in that first episode. We finally got to witness the new dynamic between Sansa and Jon Snow now that they're together, and Sansa's really kind of grown into her power. Jon Snow, who seemed to be quite useless at everything, looks like he'll make a great leader. Arya is killing people at a brutal rate. Oh, my God. Like, yes. I'm loving it. Man, that cold opening in the first episode where for a moment you think, oh, is this a flashback? And then suddenly, oh, no, Everyone is dying. Watching her on her revenge tour 2017, man, get me the tour t-shirt. Like, I am into this. She is killing everyone. Danny, of all the characters where you used to think, just get over there, has gotten over there.
Oh, thank God. Here we go. Yes.
Yeah. Look, I really enjoy Game of Thrones, even if sometimes I get a little bit lost with the story. But I thought this first episode was a good reminder of what happened in previous seasons, a good primer for where it's going to go for the rest of the season. Apart from the guest spot by Ed Sheeran, how'd you feel about that?
We have a fun little joke about that on this show. And while he's singing, there's a horse. The horse neighs towards the end of his song.
Yeah.
And it's the best part about the bit.
Look, I didn't mind him in it, but there was a moment where you're really into this story about dragons and white walkers, and then you're going top 40, and then you're back. But it was a solid start to the season. I'm really looking forward to finding out how the Game of Thrones will play out. So second to last season, Game of Thrones, Foxtel, it goes up at 11 a.m. on a Monday and then repeated ad nauseum or whenever the Foxtel Play site doesn't crash like it did last week. Two thumbs trying not to confuse King's Landing with Knott's Landing.
Got satellite, you can even see it at 9 a.m. on Monday.
Yeah, right, yeah, true.
Mix 94.5's Lisa and Pete, made in Perth. Join them weekday arvos from 4 on Mix 94.5. Lisa and Pete, they're the drive show that's made in Perth. And Bank West are the bank that was just awarded Money Magazine's Bank of the Year 2017.